Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents Diet Starts Tomorrow with hosts Sammy Sage.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
And Aileen Drexler.
I'm gonna make you girls a hump day treat.
In a world where wellness looks perfect on Instagram.
Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
But feels anything but in real life.
Is butter a carb?
Yes.
This is the podcast exploring the emotional side of well-being.
I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
From people who understand the struggle.
I am on the third day of my cleanse diet.
Hello and welcome back to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
Today we are joined by Tara Schuster. She served as Vice President of Talent and Development at Comedy Central. She was the exec in charge of the award-winning show Key & Peele, Midnight and Lights Out with David Spade. Her book, Buy Yourself the Fucking Lilies and Other Rituals to Fix Your Life from Someone Who's Been There, is the story of Tara's path to reparenting herself. I'm very excited to hear about this. And becoming a ninja of self-love. Also, this book has gotten so many good reviews, and our DST fam, all of the DSTers have wrote in saying, we need to have you on, we need to talk about this, and how it was life-changing. They literally specifically said life-changing.
Oh, wow.
So we are so excited to have you here today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But before we started recording, I just was like, I'm such a Betches fan. Like, that's where I go to for like comedy. Oh, and like, oh, I just want to like make my day more delightful. So I'm so thrilled to be here with you both.
Well, thank you. That is the compliments of compliments. High praise.
Yeah, seriously. Is that part of your reparenting to look for humor?
Actually, yeah, because I find that I'm so clued into like what's going wrong, like what problem do I have to solve? What's going wrong? Like, how could I work harder? That I actually really have to cultivate pleasantness. Like, what am I doing in my life that's just like fun and isn't to like be productive, like make something, like what's delightful? And so something on like Instagram, like Betches literally is just like a delightful little thing that's like fun. And I really think, especially in these darker times, we really need to pay a lot of attention to what brings us even a little bit of joy and then like cling on to those for dear life. That's how I feel
well,
about
that's
it.
That's why they call us the lilies of the internet. So, yeah.
I love it.
So, could you tell us a little bit about, you know, I guess just you and to the extent what inspired you to write this book, and then what is it about?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you guys said, I was an exec at Comedy Central running shows like Key & Peele, and I thought that was my career, that I was in comedy and I'm going to find shows and develop shows. And I never set out to write a book. I set out to save my life. So I was born in a house where things came to die, like all of the pets, all of the plants, a family of deer that wandered into our pool, all dead. But my sister and I made it out alive because the house, it wasn't under some like mystery hex. We had really neglectful parents, neglectful, psychologically abusive parents, and it was a pretty unfun place to grow up. So by the time I was 25, I just never had had parents in the sense of give you unconditional love, provide you with a sense of safety. So I was just like this mess, wreck, disaster in Spanx, like living one crisis to the next crisis. You would find me on the subway as the girl who was like hysterically crying next to you as you tried to like avert your eyes and pretend you weren't there. Like if I was on the subway on the one train with either of you, I'm so, so sorry because I was sobbing and it was a bad day.
I probably was sobbing too. if this was at the time you were sobbing, I was sobbing too.
We should have just held each other. We should have just sobbed together.
Yeah.
And so then, so I had all this anxiety, really severe depression. Then I'd just go home and self-medicate with weed and booze and boys and basically anything to distract myself from my life. And this might have kept going this way, except that I hit rock bottom on my 25th birthday when I drunk dialed my therapist, had no recollection of doing so, and threatened to hurt myself, which is a very particular kind of shame. You know, as I was like playing back the voicemails the next morning on top of my like Laura Ashley like duvet cover, and I'm like listening to my therapist like desperately try to find me, that's when I realized, if I don't save my life, I'm not going to have much more of a life to live. And a big thing that had gotten in the way of me looking for help was I felt like I shouldn't have it this bad. Like, I didn't have the worst childhood ever. There was no physical abuse. Like, I shouldn't be this much of a mess. So I never really like really tried to fix myself until that morning when I realized this is serious. Like, this therapist who's perma-calm and always drinking tea, like, she's looking for me. Like, I need to get my shit together. So that morning I decided, okay, I don't have a mentor. Like, I never had like a wise older mentor to tell me what to do. I don't have parents really, but what I do have is a Google Doc, and I know how to use it. Because I had always been really good at school. I had always been really good at work. I was, you know, good at work, but bad at life. And so that morning I decided, what if I turn this into a work project or a school project? And I made a curriculum of re-parenting myself. Like, what if I took this on? And so I wrote down all the questions I had. Like, what are values? What are principles? What are vegetables? Like, genuinely, what are vegetables? Which one should I be eating? Is quinoa a thing? Is it good? Is it bad? What? And I went through this Google Doc for 5 years. At the end of it, it was 600 pages. And I felt like a completely different person. And that's when I realized I had this book and that I had something to share with other people, because I knew there were so many more people out there like me who felt like they shouldn't have it this bad, but actually were really suffering from mental health issues and that they could use a helping hand. And so that's what the book is. It's a recounting of how I reparented myself, hopefully with funny stories. Like, I'm looking for a few LOLs. Like, I hope at a minimum it brings that, but I hope at a maximum it helps people feel less alone in their own struggles. Yeah.
How did you know what to like write on that blank Google Doc? Like, how did you know what to start, where to start?
I was so desperate, to be honest, that I just started exactly where I was. Like, I didn't think about, if I had thought about how am I going to get to like stable adult, that would have been too much. It was just, how can I get through today? Like, what would... like, truly, what are values? What are principles? Were two of the first questions I had. And I just Googled them.
I was gonna say, I've done that before. Yeah. What are values?
Yeah. And which one should I have?
Right.
And then I would just journal about it. And like, literally just through working through it, kind of figure out things like, oh, I wish I was more generous. Like, I want to be a more generous person. Well, how do you do that? Well, here are a couple of ideas. How did that go? Like, I'd experiment and take notes.
Right. So, but there's so many components to like a quote stable adult.
Right.
So like, how did you not give up? Like, how did you like know like where to go next? I feel like what you did for yourself is something that took me like 6 years of therapy and like so many things to figure out.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have someone guiding me, like, I wouldn't have even. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's funny because often people, they'll say to me on Instagram or something like, it looks like it's so easy for you to do your morning routine. Like, I'm struggling to keep journaling. I'm like, no, bitch, it's hard for me too. Like, it's not like easy to continue to do these things. But for me, I really think it was because I was considering taking my own life. You know, it was like that urgent that I knew that if I didn't fully commit to this, that the outcome could be really dire. And I think the other thing is I was just always so into being a student because I didn't,
Same.
You know, because like all my validation came from external things, which is not right. So it's not always positive, but in this
well,
case,
it also is just so easy because it tells you what boxes. Oh, you just have to perform on this paragraph,
right?
Or like this test, and like then you either like there's it's just very clear the steps to take, and
right.
Why I'm so stuck on asking you like what steps did you take is because like how like okay, so like you started with values. Like what did you do like in a month? Like
yeah.
And in a year?
Well, the biggest thing I would say that really was the game changer was I started journaling. Like that was like the turn all the lights on. I kind of can see things because then I had a roadmap. Because as I journaled, I realized, oh, wait, I'm unsatisfied with this friendship. This relationship isn't working out. And then I could kind of dive in. And so the first ritual I write about in the book is writing it down saved my life. Journaling really, I call it DMing with your soul. Like it's the fastest way to get into like, what do I actually think? Not what do my friends think? Not what do my parents think? What do I think? What do I want? What are my questions? And so to your question, I would just take what I had written in the journal and then kind of attack whatever was coming up.
So how do you journal?
Yeah.
For everybody who's listening probably has already journaled in the past, gave it up.
Right. So I have.
How do you do it?
So I've been journaling consistently for 10 years. And when I first heard about journaling, I rolled so hard. I was like, this is never going to work for me. This is self-indulgent. Only self-indulgent narcissists would journal, like not for me. But what I did was there's this practice called the morning pages, which this woman, Julia Cameron, created in the book, The Artist's Way, which is a fantastic book for anybody who is kind of like a blocked creative. But basically you word vomit all of your thoughts onto paper every single morning before you do anything. So before I go on Instagram, before I check my email, literally before anything else, before the outside world gets to have an opinion about me or what I'm doing, I just word vomit everything out onto three pages. And I've built it into my schedule. Like it's just a part of my day at this point. So a lot of people ask, how do you have the motivation to journal every morning? I took motivation out of the equation. It's just what I do at 6:40 a.m. That's it. Like it's a habit. It's in my schedule. I don't have to think about it. The notebook and the pen are just there always waiting for me. And by making it that hardcore of a habit, it's just become a lot easier. So three pages unedited. Here's just how I feel.
Guys, as many of you know, I've been on an alcohol-free journey. Please don't hold it against me that I just said journey, but I have. And one thing that I've really missed on this journey is beer. But now with Athletic Brewing, I'm able to get that delicious beer-like taste in my mouth without any of the alcohol. It's amazing. Just so you guys know, I used to love sours. I'm a big sour drinker and I really miss that taste. And now I don't have to miss out on it. It's amazing. Whether you're trying to cut back or you just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is often a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet fruity sours? Now you can enjoy this style without the hangover the next day. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic brews bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code DST to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's code DST at checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer, exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company, fit for all times.
So you talk a lot about morning routines and rituals that this is like kind of a key part of reparenting. So can you like talk about why that works and what types of things go into your routines and rituals?
Totally. So I think in the kind of house I grew up in, there was not a lot of safety. things were chaotic. There were adults in and out. Again, family of deer just randomly dying in the pool. Like, it was a scary place to be. And there were no traditions. There was nothing that was set. So when I started reparenting myself, I decided, mostly by creepily looking at my friends' families, they had all these beautiful traditions. Like, they'd have dinner together on Sunday nights. They'd, you know, had a family thing they did every summer. And I kind of was just like, let me copy this. Like, what are traditions and rituals I want in my life? And so for me, the morning is really the best time to do my rituals, because before work, it's the closest I can get to my own freedom, to my own time. And all I have to do is wake up a little earlier to have it. So some of, you know, my favorite rituals would be, I journal every morning. I now meditate after I journal, and then I work out. And those three things, done consistently, more than any antidepressant I've ever taken, more than any therapy I've ever undergone, those three things done together, I'm just like more in my body and in my mind and more aware of how I feel and more able to do something. Like, instead of my thoughts taking me for a ride, I can kind of see, like, wait a minute, like, I don't have to believe everything my brain is saying all this stuff. I don't need to believe everything. I get a little distance from myself, a little perspective. So I think that's why the rituals were so important, was just growing up in a ritual vacuum. Rituals feel good. Like, it feels good to have stuff that you consistently do. It feels good to your soul.
Can we go back a second and can you tell us what reparenting even means? Like, what is the goal that you're setting out to be or do?
Yeah, totally. That's a great question. So reparenting is basically looking at your life as it actually is, not how you want it to be, not how you want to portray yourself on social media. What is your life now? Taking an inventory of how you're actually doing, asking yourself, what wounds do I have? What needs healing? And then bringing yourself that nurturing like your most ideal parent would give to you. So often if I'm feeling a hurt or something goes wrong, I ask myself, what's the core issue here? What's really going on with me? This friend said something unkind and it's hurting me in this way. What's that really about? Oh, that's about my fear of actually being abandoned. Like, that's the fear. How can I comfort myself? And then giving myself that comfort. And I do this like every day. Like, when a thing happens, I don't just like let it go. And I think there's a lot of people, you know, I'll hear, well, I don't want to go to therapy because I don't want to just rehash the past. And the truth is, the things you don't deal with, they deal with you. It's not like by ignoring stuff that happened earlier in your life, you get to move on. Like, it will follow you. It will make decisions on your behalf. So all I'm saying is, wouldn't you rather have a little control? Wouldn't you rather deal with the stuff that's dealing with you? And through reparenting, we can kind of be our own best parents and heal ourselves the best we can. And it's not just for people who had neglectful childhoods like mine. I have plenty of friends who feel, you know, have these issues with anxiety or depression and bring themselves reparenting, even though they had parents who nurtured the shit out of them. It's impossible for your parents to do everything for you, particularly as you get older and there are new things that arise and you have new issues with friends or relationships. So it's ultimately about taking responsibility for your life and for your mental health.
So it's kind of, you've become your own therapist. You've become your own therapist.
In a way, you kind of become your own parent.
And you go to therapy every day.
Yeah. But like, my main thing would be like, and it's really joyful. Because in the book, so many of the rituals are about nice things you can do for yourself, ways that you can delight in your day. Like, if this was hardcore therapy every single day, I couldn't do that. That'd be so depressing and exhausting. But can I put a hand over my heart and say, it's okay, sweetheart, when something at work doesn't go the way I wanted? Can I take myself on a nice little walk when I, you know, am worried about a project I have coming up? Like, yes, I can intentionally nurture myself.
So like, where does this intersect with sort of like the social media understanding of self-care? Like, do you think that it overlaps or like partly or not at all? Or
yeah, it's such an interesting question because I find myself like hitting my head against a wall with a lot of self-care because in my book, I'm offering free or close to free solutions, ways to nurture yourself. And while I love a sheet mask or a trip to Tulum, like love these things, if you'd like to take me to Tulum with you, cool, cool, cool. Like I'll go. That's not self-care. You know, spending money is not the same as taking care of yourself. The title of the book, Buy Yourself the Fucking Lilies, comes from, I would be in Trader Joe's and I would, you know, I'm in the middle of this reparenting journey. And I'd see the lilies in their weird bucket of water, you know, and I'd fantasize about how they would like burst open with like the most wonderful perfume and make my home elegant. But I'd say, oh, no, like I can't afford $7 flowers. Plus, they're just going to die. That's too decadent. That's not for me. And, you know, I would just deny myself until one day I thought like, fuck this. Like, why am I working so hard if I won't get myself $7 lilies? Like I'm at least worth $7 lilies. So for me, that kind of, that's a joyful, beautiful, natural thing that brings me some amount of happiness and comfort. A Botox something trip to a spa in a different country, that kind of self-care where you're just throwing money at the problem, like that could be fun. A vacation is cool, but it's not self-care.
Right. Definitely. And I do think it can get so confusing.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
You mentioned that some of the techniques in your book are either free or close to free. Like what are some things that are free that people can do?
So this is going to sound so cliche, and I annoyingly, it really works. Like no one's more annoyed than I am about this, but like working out, like sweating for 20 minutes a day. You don't have to believe me, believe like scientists, like it just boosts your endorphins. Like it just does it. And it sucks because I'm a non-athlete. But going for like a half an hour run, some of my favorite moments of COVID are just some of the runs I took of feeling the sun on my skin, feeling my body, realizing, oh yeah, my body works. How cool and like amazing.
Yes, that's
is
so true. if you haven't worked out in a while and you do it and you're like, wow, this great. Is what it what yeah. is.
You feel, yeah. you feel so your blood flow. You're like reminded like, yeah. oh, I'm a living body on this earth. Cool. Like that. That's one of my favorite. You know, I maintain a gratitude list every day. I've written the 10 things I'm grateful for every day for the past 10 years, which again, a very privileged, it's very hard. A very privileged WASPy girl was the one who like introduced me to gratitude in her family's compound in Maine. I was like, you don't know me. I have nothing to be grateful for. You, who are a ballerina turned doctor, Harvard grad. Yeah, I'm sure you have a lot to be grateful for. Okay. But no, I do not. And this practice seems annoying, but I tried it on anyway, because I was working on that Google Doc of all these skills. How am I going to reparent myself? And annoyingly, it really worked. Annoyingly, taking a minute every day to kind of open the aperture to like get a little more perspective on, oh, I don't have COVID today. Wow. Like in a global pandemic. Wow. That's actually a huge thing to be grateful for. The sun is shining through my office window. Whoa, cool. I have an office. Like gratitude just, it gets you out of your smaller problems pretty quick. And is totally free. So I'd say working out and gratitude are two of the things that kind of like ground me and make me remember that there's a much bigger world than my anxiety and depression would sometimes make me believe. You know, they really lock you in to a small mind.
Have you ever gotten any like feedback or response about like, this all sounds great, but I tend to get in my own way? You know, like I can't, you know, it's hard. Like, journaling is, it's easy to stop.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's easy to stop working out, or it's easy to just sort of put yourself second.
Yeah.
Like I'll say, like, I know, cause I've tried it, that journaling, meditating and working out makes me feel amazing. And I know I'm familiar with that feeling you described of like being more pleasant and sort of like being able to separate your emotions from yourself and everything. Just, it's true. It really does feel better, but I cannot keep it up.
Yeah.
So how do you, I guess the question is, how do you prioritize yourself? Like, how do you prioritize these things
when
they don't feel like a priority?
I totally get that. And I get that question all the time. I also get the question, it's hard to motivate to do these things. Like, how do I motivate myself to do it? And my answer, I think, is a little contrarian, which would be, can you be really, really nice to yourself? Instead of even looking at this question as the negative, like, I can't do this. What can you do? Like, self-care, this whole thing is about nurturing you. I do not want to be a part of what's saying what's wrong with you. So my challenge to anybody who's having trouble, you know, picking up journaling or any habit is, what is one nice thing you could do for yourself today? Could we start there? Could we just start with you nurturing yourself? And can you do one nice thing for yourself tomorrow and then the next day? And like, can we start from a place of prioritizing yourself with lovely things and then get into journaling? Because as we started this conversation, I just don't think we spend enough time savoring what good things feel like. So then we're addicted to feeling bad. We're addicted to criticizing ourselves, to doing the wrong thing, to having that extra drink, because we're just so used to it. So what I'm trying to say is, let's orient ourselves a little differently and be open to feeling good. And it takes practice. It takes real practice to be open to feeling good. And then you start to see, as you're like, oh, things are actually pretty pleasant. Oh, I could maybe journal in this environment. I could pick this up and just keep trying, you know? It also, by focusing on what feels good, you force yourself to prioritize yourself. You're forcing yourself to take some time out of every day to do something nice for yourself. And that's what we need to do is, you know, I think self-care sometimes gets a rap as being self-indulgent. Honestly, of all the things we indulge, yourself should be number one. Like, I don't know why it wouldn't be. The people in my life who are the greatest towards the community, who are the most generous, are generally the people who are not brittle because they're exhausted and they've given everything to everyone else. They're usually people who have a pretty good habits and they're taking care of themselves. So they've got a lot more room to take care of other people. So I would say it's kind of like a two-pronged approach. One is start getting good at treating yourself well, just at a bare minimum. And the second thing is remembering that you actually are a priority and reminding yourself that that's okay, that it's really okay that, that you are a little selfish with your time and take care of yourself.
It's so interesting the point you bring up about like kind of being able to like absorb joy, because that is something that I have sort of recently noticed, like I don't know how to do.
Yeah.
And trying to like work on that with my therapist, like, because like it's so much easier to absorb pain and yes. negativity and like take that on and let it sort of like infect everything. But I really struggle to like, honestly, like sit in happy moments.
Yes.
Like, and I have to really remind myself, like, this is the moment you're waiting for. This is the fun. You're at the fun. Like my husband and I actually have a joke, like whenever we go somewhere, like we'll be like, okay, well, like when's the fun gonna be? Like, and we'll like ask ourselves, like, oh, is this part the fun?
Right.
Like, is this part the part you're waiting for? And it's just like something we joke about, like, to remind ourselves, like, this is the thing. This is the thing we've been planning. This is the moment we've been talking about. The time to enjoy is now.
That's so smart, though, Sammy, because, like, that's actually how you build that reflex, though, is by being like, it's now. Now is right. the fun thing, so that you remember to pay attention. Because basically, you know, your birthday party where it's like a blowout and everything's fun, like all these like fun, big things I've ever planned, I basically don't remember any of it because I wasn't paying any attention. Like it just kind of like blew past me. I wasn't paying enough attention, but the like sorrowful, hard moments I can remember, like, you know, crying on my bathroom floor or something. So I really try to soak in, like in that moment when you're with your husband, you're like, this is the fun. It's like, what does the fun feel like? What does your skin feel like? What does this room look like? It's really being like, let me be really aware of what feels good.
Well, usually I am a little anxious to get home, even amidst the fun. But but when I'm home and I'm like petting my dog and like yeah. lying on the couch, I'm like, oh, this is what you've been trying to get to. So just don't be bored because there's nothing to watch.
And like that's a big part of the book. Like the big part of the book is that we get oriented that the wedding, the bachelorette, these big moments, like when I get a vacation house, then I'll be happy. Like we get so wrapped up in the big things that we forget that there is a joy to having a sock drawer full of clean socks with no holes. When I open that drawer,
I'm still working on that.
But it's like these little things, like my bed being made every single day is a delightful, lovely thing. Like these really playing with your dog on the couch, walking down the street in the sunshine. That's such a big one for me. That's actually what makes up your life. These little mundane moments. And if you can learn to delight in them a little bit more, you make your life better. Like you're overall, your life, the quality of it is much higher than if you were to.
And it's free.
Totally free and available to everyone, no matter your circumstance. Little delightful things.
You know how there's like, I guess, like a concept around like money doesn't buy happiness. And like, as long as you have your basic needs met and you have this much income, like people are generally on average happy past a certain point. I do kind of feel like that is how. Like people who don't have what even I'm not even saying like necessarily people in America, I'm saying like the world over, like obviously different groups of people live differently than we do and they live with much less and they don't seem less happy.
Right.
And I wonder like, is that because they are good at embracing that?
It's interesting because, you know, I think like as I've climbed the ladder and, you know, met and worked with more and more celebrities and more wealth, you don't see somebody who like, oh, they made an additional $20 million. So they're $20 million happier. You don't see that.
I still have a tough time believing that from like your first 20 million. Like I still do.
I don't know.
I do think you can have 20 million. And if you don't absorb the happiness you get from it, you're not going
to
be happy.
I have to say, I mostly see people more stressed out about how they're going to keep the money, how they're going to maintain this lifestyle.
They can give it to me.
Me too, by the way. If they just want to DM me, I'm open. I'll give you my Venmo. But I do think though that like we, especially in America, are married to the idea that the more income you have, the happier you'll be. We need to hustle to like get this job, to do this thing, to do this other thing. And I just rarely see external validation, including money, right? Like status through money. I have rarely seen that bring someone actual happiness. A little more security, sure, of course. But like joy.
Honestly, like, okay, I'm a person whose love language, I've actually been thinking about this a lot lately because my love language, I've been embarrassed to admit, but my love language is gifts. Like, I really just want to be given presents, like really nice, fancy ones.
I love that.
And like, I'm not afraid. I'm no longer embarrassed to say it because like, I just do. Like, objects make me happy. And what I realized is that like, it's okay for that to be the case. Because I feel like I have started investing like a lot of appreciation into them. Mm. Like I've started trying to absorb like when I wear a new pair of shoes, like you're wearing the shoes that you wanted. Like look at them and admire them and like feel good in them. And like when I think you do sort of like try to like register the happiness that either an experience or being with a person or an object
right.
or a massage brings you, like you can increase the level, like you can increase the earning, the buying power of money and its like ability to bring you happiness.
I will say that my love language too, are you ready for it? I'm not, for the first time in my life, I'm not going to be ashamed to say this. My love language is gifts as well. I love, sometimes I'll buy myself a present and I'll wrap it and then I'll unwrap it. Like, I love that, right? Yes.
The most exciting part is the box. Like, is like opening the box.
The box is
like,
fun.
Like, it's ugh, the fucking box and the ribbon. It's like,
beautiful.
There's something wonderful about getting a gift.
Like the end of my book. Like, I know I'm here saying like, it's all like low cost and free and you don't need money. Okay. The end of my book is about a trip to Paris to buy my dream Chanel bag. So it's not like I'm like, oh, like we just meditate.
You get it.
No, but here's it's not that it's like, okay, if you aren't able to absorb like the beauty in your trip to Paris and the fact that you can like buy yourself a Chanel bag, then you will never be happy. But totally. If you can like have that and appreciate it, that's where the happiness comes from.
Yeah.
But I think the point is that you can also find happiness in not the Chanel bag.
It's the whole thing. Yeah. It's like the whole picture. I'm like, have the Chanel bag, but are you journaling? And to your point, part of what got me to be able to appreciate the Chanel bag is everything else that I did, so that when I got that bag, it was like a talisman. It was like like the Rosetta Stone of all the work I had done. And I had thought about this bag for a decade because like, to your point, I've invested it with energy. It's like a magical object. Like I don't buy stuff. Like, I don't just buy like random stuff. I'm not trying to spend my way into like, oh, if I just accumulate enough, then I'll be happy. But if you think about it and you like save for it and you like,
if it calls to you.
Yes, exactly. Meaningful.
Let me just quickly switch gears because, you know, this is about, you know, Diet Starts Tomorrow. This is our podcast. And we really like this quote from your book. It says, we get this one human body and whether you hate it or love it, it's yours. What's your relationship with your body? Do you talk about body love in the book?
I talk a lot about in the book about how much I did not like my boobs because I got them really early and I just felt like they were this weird appendage that was like matronly and made me look too big and there was no way to like shape them. And like, I really wasn't into them. And I, at a certain point, I just started to think, this is so sad. If I'm going to spend a portion of my everyday hating my human body, what would be a way out of this? And what I realized was I needed to fake it a little bit, find a ritual, find something to honor myself and like try to trick my brain into liking my boobs. And so I started getting like very nice bras. And I've got a story in the book about going to Paris and a woman who looked like Charlotte Gainsbourg, like with those like great bangs. And like, you could just picture a cigarette dangling out of her mouth. Like she suggested I go to a Beaumarchais, a store in Paris and get the perfect bra. And once I started taking care of my boobs of like, yes, they can, in French, they call it the poitrine. Like, how do you want them to face out? What do you want them to look like? I was like, wait, you can choose your own boob shape? Wait, what? And then I got just really into it. And now I can, through that process, like I'm in a great place with my body. Like, whoa, it works. First off, oh, it's a miracle that my body can move and do all these things. So cool. And then I really take care to honor it, to give my boobs the bras they deserve, to give my skin such a nice slathering of lotion every day. And the nicer and nicer and nicer I am to myself, the more and more I become comfortable with myself. I think often we're like, I need to criticize myself or I'll never be better. Like I need to be like harsh. And what I have found over and over again is that the nicer I am, the softer I am, the more compassionate I am towards this own body, the easier every single thing is. And so, you know, I know we're in this culture of restriction and being mean and critical, but if you can find one thing about your body you absolutely love and focus on that, or instead of hating on the one thing that you don't like, try just to orient yourself to, well, what can I appreciate about it? Can I even trick myself? Can I do something nice that tricks myself into liking this about like my lips, my butt, my back, whatever it is? Just see the difference. Like I just challenge everyone to just like take a second and be like, how did that feel? And I would be surprised if the answer wasn't, it feels a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The tough love doesn't really.
No,
never works.
Maybe it works for some people.
It does not work for me.
There's always exceptions, but I think, yeah, it doesn't necessarily work long term.
No, it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. And it also allows, or it teaches you like patience, because yeah. Like I feel like the tough love approach, you want results fast, whatever you're looking for.
Right.
Whereas the compassion, it takes so much longer to learn and make it come naturally. But those changes do happen with both like approaches. It's just one takes more.
It's a process. Patience. And, you know, when you were asking earlier, even about how do you keep these habits, instead of beating yourself up for, oh, I didn't journal this month. If you have the intention to journal, if you have the intention to do any of these things and you keep revisiting them, it's just a process. It takes everybody a different amount of time. But like learning to love your body, if you can just remember, like, let me be a little patient with myself. Let me give myself some soft love, not tough love, but soft love. Let me treat myself like my ideal parent would have. My ideal parent would have said, you're beautiful, sweetheart. Like, you're beautiful just the way you are. So I say that to myself now, because those are the words I need to hear. And it works over time. Yeah. With some patience, it does work.
Because the idea is for you to sort of do it yourself. Come to that, like, sort of naturally do whatever you want to do yourself.
Yes.
And it doesn't come from force. There's this one.
Yes.
I don't know if it's like a cartoon that has always stuck with me my whole life. I don't know where I saw it, but it was like two pictures. One is like, in, there's the sun and then the wind, and there's one person with their jacket, and the goal of both of them is to get this person to take their, get their jacket off. Mm-hmm. I don't like have any context of what this is, but the wind like forces it and forces it, and the person puts the jacket on, and then the sun shines hot, like harder, and it takes a little bit longer, but then the person just gets a little warm and takes the jacket off themselves. So like, I've always thought about that. And this is actually the exact, this works for this conversation, because it really, it just, it takes a little patience. And then the idea is for you to kind of do it yourself.
I could not love that more. I have to steal that from you, because that's exactly what it is.
I don't know
is.
Where I got it.
It's like, it is, you know, it's with your friends. It's always a better, it's always better if they think it was their idea, some change they need to make. It's always better if someone thinks it's their idea.
Yes.
So this is all about, how do we give ourselves validation? Instead of
give yourself the tools to come to the conclusions yourself, rather
exactly.
than forcing it from some external
exactly.
place.
Because that will last the rest of your life. You know, like a personal trainer who like yells at you and like makes you feel bad. That's like an 8-week thing. I'm talking about for the rest of your life. How are you going to do this?
Right. So just to wrap up, like a question. So I found like that it totally works. Like self-compassion really does like lead to growth and change. But I think one of the hardest things is when you're used to like beating yourself up in your head. The first times you're like, you're beautiful, sweetheart, or you say like, you're okay just as you are, like you don't really believe them because it's like one drop in a sea of a lifetime of self-hatred. So like, how do you persist past those like resistance that you have to believing that?
So that is such a good question. I embrace the resistance. So the resistance is going to come up. So I need to work with it. So in my journal, for example, I started by doing positive affirmations of, so I'd write down, this is a great exercise. What are all of my core negative beliefs? I'm unlovable. I'm ugly. I'm never going to, you know, succeed at my career. I would write those things down. And then right next to them, so those were all my beliefs, like my limiting beliefs. Right next to them, I'd write the truth, which is, I am lovable and loved by my sister, my friends, the, you know, like list it out and kind of constantly remind myself that my beliefs are not the truth. And I don't need to believe my beliefs. They're just like these passing weird negative things. And if you really want to put some icing on this cake, I would come up with some positive affirmations that you can write to yourself every single day. And when something, the resistance you're talking about comes up and is like, if I write, you're beautiful, sweetheart. And I was like, no, you're not. Like you gained 3 pounds from like, blah, 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 blah. I'd write back to it. I am beautiful. And like, I do feel good. And I'd really like have a conversation with yourself, because we often ignore ourselves. We're like, well, that's just a passing thought. I won't deal with it. It's your life. Like you have to deal with it. And the kinder you can be to yourself, the more resilient, the more fun you're going to have, the more joy. So I would start experimenting with really seeing the difference between your limiting beliefs and the truth, and giving yourself some of those positive affirmations. And if you roll your eyes and think that's cheesy and gross, cool, 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 cool. I thought they were cheesy and gross too. Just stick with it. Like, what's the worst that could happen? What is the worst that could happen from you writing some positive affirmations for a week? Like nothing. There's no worst case scenario. What's the best case scenario? You could feel a lot better. Like, why not just try?
It's true. Totally. Completely.
Thank you so much, Tara. We really appreciate you taking the time and telling us how to reparent ourselves.
Yeah.
And congratulations on like, you know, doing it yourself. It's really amazing. It's like quite an accomplishment, because I think everybody listening was like, wow, I kind of want that for myself. Where can people, I'm assuming you can buy your book wherever books are sold.
You can buy the book wherever books are sold. You can chat with me on Instagram. I'm Tara Schuster. And if you sign up for my newsletter at taraschuster.com, I give one new self-care kind of tip every week, but it's also just a place where you can talk to me and talk to other people who are kind of on this path to reparenting as well.
Well, that's great. That's everyone amazing. Go buy Tara's book and email us dst@betches.com. If you have any questions, follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm at Aileen. Sammy's at Sammy. And we're always with you
through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong and Sean Kilby. Social media by Sydney Rafe. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com. Betches.